Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks, a podcast that takes you inside some of the most interesting businesses and industries today. It explores career success and how we can make a difference. We invite you to join us on this journey, and welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Beth Hilbing, co-CEO of C-Suite.
And I'm Diane Gubin, co-CEO with Beth. And today, we are just so happy to be speaking with Fielding Jamison. Shaping the future of the fan and athlete experience through collaborative innovation between the world's leading sports organizations and startups, Fielding Jamison is the Senior Strategy Director at RGA Ventures and the Managing Director of Global Sports Venture Studio, and formerly the Director of Business Partnerships for Lyft Labs at Comcast NBC Universal. Fielding brings her expertise in launching and growing innovation groups within larger organizations to Global Sports Venture Studios' roster of partners, and these include Angel City Football Club, a National Women's Soccer League expansion team, Dick's Sporting Goods, Fox Sports, the LA Dodger, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and more. Fielding is a fierce advocate for the advancement of women as well as diversity in the tech ecosystem and inclusive design. She volunteers for City LAX, or City LAX, a nonprofit dedicated to growing the game of lacrosse in urban locations. Originally from Atlanta, Fielding is an advisor for two of her alma maters, and they include Yale University and Westminster Schools. One of Fielding's proudest accomplishments is becoming a mom. Her family currently lives in New York City. Welcome, Fielding. We're so happy to have you.
We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I should have maybe supplied you with a little bit of a shorter bio for you to read out. But
well, you have a very accomplished background.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit personally about yourself before we get into the more business type questions. Just a little background of, you know, how you started your career and just kind of expanded into your current role. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. A more personal note, I think I saw this on a pillow one time and I really identified it with it. It said, I'm a little bit Yankee, a little bit y'all. So I am from Atlanta, or I call Atlanta home, but actually did grow up originally outside New York. But I've spent a lot of my formative years, college and after college, up north, including the past decade plus in New York City. I always like to say that I've leaned on values from both of those spaces, from the South and from the North, in terms of how to kind of go about relationships and business. On a more professional level, I've started my career in New York City. I actually started interning at NBC Sports, and they were building a brand new app for iPhone and Android. And it was my first foot into digital strategy. I really thought that I just wanted to be in sports. I was a previous athlete, or current at the time, athlete at Yale. And I just was obsessed with being in sports, loved the team atmosphere, loved everything about it.
And what sport did you play?
I played lacrosse.
Oh, okay, good. That's good.
Yeah. And so I saw this internship and didn't care what the internship was. Like, if it was at NBC Sports, I wanted to be there. And it ended up really opening my eyes to a pretty amazing and now, you know, path and what led to a great career, starting off in digital strategy, looking at, you know, how companies engage with consumers on, you know, from a digital footprint perspective. That then led to looking at emerging technologies. How do we grow that digital strategy? What's coming next? When you're looking at what's coming next, you are looking at startups, because those are the companies that are on the cutting edge. And so ended up working and speaking with a lot of startups, and then was given a great opportunity to jump from the NBC Universal side of the business to Comcast, who's the owner of NBC. And they were figuring out how Comcast NBC as a whole, and a massive company, 150,000 employees, work with startups in a meaningful and impactful way. And so I went over to Comcast and built what is now referred to with the team as the front door for entrepreneurs and startups to engage with Comcast, NBC Universal. And from there, I'd always tracked what RGA Ventures was doing in this space. So they are an innovation consulting and venture capital group under the direction of the lead marketing agency, RGA. So I'd always been really fascinated by what RJ Ventures was doing, running venture programs, doing a bunch of innovation consulting with some pretty amazing partners, and then also being able to leverage the amazing brand, marketing, visual design, verbal design, all of these things, being able to leverage all that coming from RGA. I thought that was a really powerful relationship. And so a role opened up on RGA Ventures. I have now been with the team for 2.5 years. And as you mentioned, I lead strategy across all of our engagements within RGA Ventures. I have one main role, managing director of the Global Sports Venture Studio, where we bring together 12 is the right number now, partners across the sports ecosystem and all different facets to collaborate and innovate together through startups, by showcasing startups and talking about new areas. And then we can get into this a little later, but made a new announcement this week of a new studio that we've opened up that I'll be leading, that sits at the intersection of women and sports, called Trailblazer Venture Studio.
Oh, fabulous.
Fabulous.
Good, 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 good.
Fabulous.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And then in your personal life, what's new there and exciting? And then we'll get into some of the questions.
Sure. Yeah. As my bio mentioned, I am a newish mom. I have a 2-year-old. He's my world and everything right now, and it's just very fun. It's COVID was a little bit of a blessing in disguise for our family. We were able to stay safe, have a child in kind of peak COVID in July 2020, and I've been able to spend so much time just watching him grow up, and every day is different and fun. Today, for example, he's almost 2, and he was leaving, and he just said, "See you later, Mom," and shut the door. So I was like, "I'm sorry, are you like a teenager?
Are you like 10 instead of 2?
What is that?" Usually he's crying, leaving me, and now he's like, "See you later."
He must have liked the person he was going with.
Yeah, that's, you know, honestly, pretty much takes up my entire life outside of work.
So that's fabulous. Okay, so I'll ask you a question. We'll get it started. So you have a really interesting background between technology and sports and startups and corporations. You talked a little bit about how you got where you are, which is good, and kind of brought us up to speed. But tell us more about the Global Sports Venture Studio. I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And what does strategy mean in your world within all this?
Oh my gosh, everything under the sun. So Global Sports Venture Studio, I think, is a very unique platform, because what we recognized when we were working with some sports partners who had approached us and said, "Hey, listen, we want to know what's coming, what's out there, what's new in this sports tech space." And that the main partner we did that with was the LA Dodgers in 2015, which really put our group on the map, because no one was actually looking at sports tech and trying to figure out how leagues and teams were going to be able to work with these new startups. And so we built a program around that. What we learned, though, through that engagement and then some subsequent engagements that happened after that in sports, was sports really takes a village. It's a pretty unique industry in the sense that, you know, if a team wants to implement something, or a league wants to implement something, or a broadcast partner wants to implement something new, all of those people need to usually be working together to do that. And then sometimes you need your technology partner on board to be able to help, and you need your hospitality partner on board if you want to do something cool in your stadium. So there's all these partners that not every day Joe or Jane knows, that are really making the sports experience happen. And so it's been great to, we built this platform to go, let's bring retail sports partners in, let's bring media sports partners in, let's bring leagues, let's bring teams, let's bring hospitality, let's bring all these people together to provide an environment where they can collaborate and talk with each other about new upcoming technologies or new spaces. For example, we just did a big event on the metaverse, which was really interesting, and obviously a very hot topic in technology and innovation right now. So we give these partners an opportunity to collaborate with each other, and then we also bring a good point of view to them about these new areas, new spaces. And we also bring cutting edge startups, and sometimes those startups are really early and haven't even built a product yet. We're trying to give them a sneak peek of hey, this is the type of, these are the types of products that you should be aware of that are coming. And then some of those startups are at the stage where we're hoping one of our partners will be excited to actually work with that startup and kind of create a matchmaking opportunity. So I like to say that in general, Global Sports Venture Studio, but really all that we do at RGA Ventures is this idea of being a bridge between large organizations and startups and figuring out how those two groups can build successful products and solutions together.
I want to congratulate you on that fielding because so few people will touch startups, you know, and the startups just flounder and they just dig and it's like, where am I going to get the funding? So for you to actually foster startups in this space is really, it's fabulous. So can you give us an example without naming names, just some of these technologies that you're talking about? Like, what do they look like?
Yeah, sure. You know, so we're looking at everything. I can give an example, I think. So one startup, for instance, that I think is really interesting in the media space is a startup called Buzzer. And what they're doing is this idea that, you know, not every fan can sit down and watch a 3-hour sporting event, for example. And even if they can, some people don't even want to. And what we're seeing is there are massive behavior shifts in younger generations in terms of wanting to understand and engage with sports. They actually want to engage with micro moments. And this startup took all of that research and took all of this conversation that was happening, and they actually put action behind it. And they built a product in which you can you get an alert on your phone and it's like, hey, there's 2 minutes left. Let's take a fake example. There's 2 minutes left of the Super Bowl and the one team's on the 5-yard line. Are they going to score? And you can basically either do a micro payment and say like, yeah, like I'll pay $4 to watch those last couple minutes. Or there's some paywalls. Like if you already have subscriptions to things, you can just like quickly tune in. But that's the idea, which is like, it's going to alert you when you need to be tuning in so you don't have to sit down and watch an entire game. So what we're looking at, it's a nice example to show what we're looking at is matching up the shift in consumer behaviors with emerging technologies that are responding to that shift and can help legacy partners figure out how they are then going to respond to that shift in consumer behaviors. And hopefully accelerate those legacy partners, these startups can help them accelerate their path into solving what, you know, the best solution is going to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I like to still hear the sports on the radio. I don't know if people do that much, but it's interesting to hear the ball games and stuff on the radio. So I think that's fun.
Audio has come back in such a massive way from a content perspective, right? And I have this huge theory, and it's for another time, but that like all technology and especially emerging technology is cyclical. Like it all actually comes back to things that existed. It's just a little bit better. An example is like Slack. I don't know if any of you use Slack in your organizations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. At its core though, Slack, if you like remember the old days of like AOL, AIM, like it's chat rooms, it's individual messages. And that really was something that we were doing in the early, you know, 2000s. That form has existed. Of course, now Slack is humongous and you can store files and you can do all these different things. I don't mean to like kind of diminish everything that Slack has done, but I think it's just an example of how like everything just kind of comes back. I mean, I started my career in emerging technology, and at the time that meant sending breaking news text messages. That was like cutting edge stuff. Okay.
She missed the faxes.
Right. That was like cutting edge. That was like, oh my God, we're sending text messages to people, right? And then smartphones and app notifications and all this stuff. And now what I'm doing with partners is I'm hooking them up with organizations that actually have text message strategy, because now I'm not joking when I say this, it makes people literally squirm. I have like 10,000 unread emails and random notifications on my phone. I have one that literally says 263 notifications. Like, I don't even know. I have zero unread text. And so now everyone's using tech, wants to use text messages because people read them and check them.
And they're fast, super fast. Yeah.
Exactly. And you're all, it's just something you're, you like, because your friends text you, so you're looking at that versus like an email, you're just like scrolling, whatever. So it's just interesting to me because, you know, I used to make that joke, oh my God, can you believe text messaging was an emerging technology? And look where we are now, we're right back at that's how we're capturing eyeballs. So it's just interesting to kind of see that cycle come through.
And evolution.
The evolution, right. And now I'm at a stage in my career where I'm starting to see some of that.
Right.
Oh, that's great. So you were talking to us about a new venture that you're doing or your company's engaging in. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes.
And share with the audience the excitement.
Super excited. This is actually the first podcast I'm doing since the announcement. So on Tuesday, we announced Trailblazer Venture Studio. This is a new studio that is partnered with Billie Jean King, the absolute goat herself, greatest of all time. Elysian Park Ventures, which is a leading sports tech VC out of the LA Dodgers ownership group, and then also the LA Dodgers. So those three partners, along with RGA Ventures, we've come together to launch I think it's the world. It's certainly the US's first venture studio that's focused on the intersection of women and sports.
Wow.
And that is really around the idea. It's super, honestly, I'm sure you can tell by my face, I'm just so excited. It's been a labor of love to get this going because we wanted to make sure we really did it right. But this group of partners, especially that we've brought together, has come together under the basically one big belief, and that is that the biggest growth opportunity in sports is women. Women are representing 50% of fans. Women athletes are representing at least 40%. They're getting 4% media coverage. Women leadership is more critical than ever across sports. So we're looking at kind of everything that hits that intersection. That can be retail, that can be media, that can be sponsorship and pay. There's so much there, so much opportunity to unlock. And we feel that these partners actually hold the key to do that. So through this studio, we're going to be selecting a small number of startups to actually really pour some significant investment into from a financial perspective, from relationship capital perspective, and then creative services from RGA, because again, we all believe that there's incredible explosion of growth that happens when you combine creativity with traditional business strategy and venture capital. And so we're bringing all of this together to basically, over a 3-month period, work with startups that are putting women at the forefront of their thinking when it comes to sports. And we're saying, you deserve all of the resources that everybody else has gotten in sports tech because they were focused maybe on men, where people traditionally believed that that was the larger audience. And the fact is, that's just not true. And so we are trying to accelerate the growth of these companies who have stood up and said, no, like we are building products and services in sports for both men and women, or for just women per se. And we are going to make a difference and impact in doing that. And so we want to lift up and support those companies through this studio.
That's fabulous.
That is fabulous. And we're so happy to have you as part of C-Suite.
Exactly.
So we're going to keep our ears open for companies that could meet your initiative.
I was just going to say, please keep your ears open. If you hear startups or even other organizations that want to be involved, we're putting together mentors, we're putting together sponsors. So there's a lot of opportunity. I think, this is going to take everybody coming together to lift this space up, which is honestly where I like to work the most. I say that I'd usually probably be bad at traditional venture capital because I don't like saying no. Very good at saying yes to things. So like Shark Tank gives me a little anxiety, right? I'm like, you know, and that's when I really knew that I don't think like traditional VC, but the idea of actually like investing in a company financially, but then getting in there and helping them grow and connecting them and doing all these things around that, like that's exciting to me. That's fun. That's actually really dedicating yourself to the success of not only these companies, but there's the people behind them, right? There's the founders who have staked pretty much and so many times like their entire lives on these companies. And it's so admirable. And it's fantastic for me to who I'm not sure has the guts to do that, to be able to help in the way that I can.
I love it.
Wonderful. Do you sit on any board of directors for corporations? Are you active in that way yet or not really?
I'm not sitting on any boards in that sense. I sit on a board of Yale Lacrosse, and I'm very active in my alma maters, and also do a lot, some board stuff for my high school, which I'm very close to as well, which I know sounds funny, but
it's where your heart is.
You know, some of the most like amazing, you know, I think I look at it, female friendship is really incredibly important to me. And when I look at actually how many individuals didn't have that opportunity to form those bonds, actually, Lena Dunham, who produced Girls, which was an HBO show, and it caused a little bit. Some people hated it. Some people loved it. It was a really interesting show on HBO. And it's been 10 years this year since it came out. Point being, she wrote this reflective article actually about how that whole series was her trying to understand and explore female friendship. And it was fascinating to read because no one had that purview when we watched the show. And it was just interesting her perspective on how like challenging and hard and complicated that some of that can be. And I feel like an absolutely incredibly blessed to have such an amazing, I don't know if this counts as a curse word, but like just badass women around me. And then I look at where those people came from. It was from my high school. It was from Yale. And I want to give back to those organizations in a way that supports them. So hopefully the next generations can have those same experiences that I've had.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I love it. I love it. You need a daughter too.
I know, right? It's like, I need that.
Keep trying out that filming. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. A lot of those women we've all had boys. And I have this theory that obviously, you know, to raise kind of that next generation of men to respect women and to make sure women are treated as equal, it's going to take a strong group of women to do that, just like it has all the years that have come before us, right? And so, you know, we talk a lot about that. That's a really also an exciting place to be able to kind of shape it on both sides.
And I don't think you should rest on your laurels. You know, I think a lot of younger American women take all this for granted. And you see what's going on in the world and how backwards the world is still today. And you have to keep pushing and pushing the cause and supporting women.
Yeah, not to get political, but yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Supporting your women friends, and don't drag them down or talk ill of them, or you know what I mean?
Right.
You have to support each other.
It does take a community, without a doubt.
Absolutely. It hit me really hard. I was talking with Billie Jean King about this studio and just her excitement and passion around it, which was incredible. And honestly, an incredible moment for me. She has been such a hero in so many ways, just advocating for women, both, you know, on the court and off, and just in her memoir and just everything that she has gone through, how open she has been about those things in order to help the advancement of women. She said, you know, honestly, and I think that's quoted in one of the articles about the studio, she said, I've been praying for this tipping point. And then when I was speaking with her, she was like, I'm just so happy that after me fighting for 50 years, I am alive to like see this movement and moment. And that really hit me of like, wow, like you've done so much. She's done so much for the advancement of women, and we're still not there. We're still having all of these fights, and all of these female athletes are just doing everything they can to just get paid the same amount that men are.
Yes. Yes. I keep thinking about our friend who's in Russia right now, who if she was paid appropriately, would never have gone to go do that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly correct. Right. And I think that some people are missing that narrative of that story. And there's a lot of examples like that across sports and or just across our world that we live in every day. So that's why I'm really excited. You know, I'm a big believer in using, you know, every tool that you have, your voice, your job, anything. And this has just been a big passion area of mine. And it's incredible to come together with truly like the top partners in the sports world who also share this passion to give us the opportunity to say, let's find these companies who have been bold enough to put women first. Even though that they know that female founders are getting like less than 3% of female of VC funding, even though that they know that most sports companies are male dominated and are invested in by other men, even though they know the top leadership group of all the sports organizations, it's men. Right. And so they took a stance, and we want to, you know, support those companies and celebrate them. And ultimately, but ultimately at the end of the day, like, we truly believe like what is right can live alongside what is profitable. And yes, it is the right thing to do to invest in women as much as you're investing in men. But we're also saying that there's a huge business opportunity here to do that as well. Like, there's just dollars mm-hmm. that are being left on the table, and we're going to go after those, and we're going to build up the companies who are going after those as well.
Right. And I'm really curious, like, what are the types of companies that you're looking at right now that would fit into this venture?
Sure. We're exploring a lot of different spaces. We're looking at athletic performance. So there's a lot going on in the hydration space and ultimately kind of like what I'll call like health monitoring and tracking. And so people are monitoring and tracking their hydration status. People are monitoring and tracking their sweat output.
Oh.
And that's like elite level.
They
right?
are. I mean, they are, but it's not something I do.
Yeah. So much for deodorant, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
Well, they're not wearing deodorant anymore.
Yeah. And then we're looking at home fitness, of course, huge trend that really, you know, accelerated during COVID. And we're continuing to see some growth in. So we're looking at some areas around that. We're looking at some exciting companies from a data perspective. So a lot of data that has been built in terms of either medical data or athletic data tracking has been built on data sets that were collected off of men and are male benchmarks.
Right.
And it's just not right. And women have a completely different training regimen. We should have a completely different training regimen because we have completely different bodies and we have
right.
different things that happen to our bodies during that time. So we're looking at menstruation companies and how that's relating to athletic performance. So we're looking at name, image, and likeness. It's another area. It's basically there's a huge movement now. NCAA, you know, they passed a law that now brands can sponsor athletes. And so all these brands are flooding into this space to sponsor and actually pay college athletes, which has been fantastic, I think, for those individual for college athletes who have long been used as props by schools to make money and have never actually received any of that money.
Right.
Right, right. And how many are the women who are getting the money now versus the guys?
And it's very interesting, actually, in the name, image, likeness space, women and female athletes are doing incredibly well. More so and surpassing and oftentimes the men.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear.
So it's great to just see like we're getting all of these data points that are validating exactly what this group of partners has known this whole time. And we're continuing to just get that validation. Every week I see something new. Viewership is up. WNBA just raised a whole lot of money of investors, right? Like every single week, something new is coming up that's just supporting this, that like the women are there to be engaged, but you have to speak to them and engage with them in a way that's authentic.
Yeah, well, that's great. So Fielding, as we kind of wrap this up, I'd like to hear what you think entrepreneurs should do. Instead of asking like, what is the biggest mistake? What do you feel is something that they need to focus on in a positive way?
Good question.
Yeah. So I think that for me, it's really important when building a company that you as an entrepreneur or founder have a purpose for that company. And I'm not talking about product market fit. I'm not talking about the exact what your product is. I'm kind of talking about this higher purpose of why you've built this company, because that will serve as your North Star. Because when you're building a company, everyone has an opinion. Your family, your investors, your customers, all your competitors, everyone is coming at you with a ton of advice, right? And you need to be able to certainly hear all of that feedback and then figure out which paths that you want to go down. Because if you're going to try to make everybody happy and what they're asking for, you're all of a sudden going to be trying to build something that it doesn't even make sense anymore. It's trying to go too many different directions. And so, you know, having a purpose can really help you kind of guide you in making those decisions. It also is very helpful to give you the power to say no to things that, you know, that does not kind of that doesn't go with really what our brand kind of purpose is. An example we like to give at RGA Ventures is that, you know, Nike could have just been about shoes and shirts, selling shoes and shirts. That's what they do. Great. And instead, they're very purposeful about that. They say, you know, that their purpose is to inspire and innovate and provide innovation to every athlete in the world. And then go on to say, and we define an athlete as anyone with a body. And so it's like this greater purpose of which they're trying to achieve versus just saying we make shoes and shirts, right?
Right.
So it helps them. It gives them the space they need to innovate, and it gives them that permission to innovate, but it also gives them the permission to go, with everything that's coming at them, like, does this serve what we are trying to accomplish in the world? And I think that can be a hard exercise to go through. And I'm not saying that you're going to have it right away when you start your company, but it really should be something that entrepreneurs and founders work towards in those first couple years of starting their company.
Okay. Now that's fabulous.
Awesome. So thank you, Fielding Jameson. We've so appreciated having you here today. This was a really fun and such an interesting conversation. So thank you. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Google, the accounting firm of RSM, the law firm of Manette, employee benefits firm Woodruff Sawyer, and executive search and IT consulting firm Amplify Professional Services. Beth, do you want to wrap us up?
Sure. Thank you. Hit the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, everywhere else you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, of course, 5 stars. Follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. We love hearing from you, so send us a note on media@csweet.org. It's csweet.org. And then check out our website. Get active, join, come attend events at www.csweet.org. And thank you again, Fielding. We could have talked for hours.
Thank you, Fielding.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for listening. We love you, and we really appreciate everybody. So thank you.